What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and right there in the studio is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for yet another one. You know what time it is. We're going to be talking some football as same as any other week, but we got a very special guest with us, the man, the myth, the legend that is Greg Kellogg. Welcome to the show, Greg. Really do appreciate you stopping in. Going to break down some knowledge with fantasy football. Hey, you guys need fantasy, have any fantasy questions? Make sure you drop them down below in the comment section so we can ask Greg, pick his ear. He'll let us know what's good, what's bad, or indifferent. But before we get to all that, make sure you help us out. Head over to our channel at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you also hit the thumbs up while you're there. It's so easy, just a couple clicks. And then also tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's get into this, Jim.
Absolutely, Joe. Again, Joe knows I used to do fantasy football and stuff. I was pretty good at it and stuff, but I was always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I'd get there all the whole way, and my team would just crap out. You know, it seems like, you know, I just couldn't get it done, you know. So I bowed out, but Joe's still deep into it. We're going to get into it. Now, let me just touch on, I guess, Daniel Jones here. I'm sure pretty much probably 0.9% of people actually drafted Daniel Jones, or, you know, maybe he wasn't even on teams or even picked up from the waiver wire. Do you think he can continue this stride that he has so far with the Colts?
Well, I do. I said when he went to the Colts, he was going to be an upgrade over Anthony Richardson because Anthony Richardson wasn't completing even 50% of his passes. So what does Daniel Jones bring to the Colts? He brings a little bit better timing, much better reading of defenses. See, that's the problem we have with a lot of the young quarterbacks. They can't read the defenses. Your show name, so appropriate for this week. Blindside Blitz. I mean, we've lost so many quarterbacks this week because of blitzing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, no, I think Daniel Jones continues. He's got good receivers there. Now, he doesn't have anybody in Indy that's as good as Malik Nabers was. Okay, that's a given. But he's got better coaching. He really does have better. So, yeah, I think he can continue. Right now he's the number two fantasy quarterback because he also has something that a lot of pocket passers don't have, the ability to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's probably probably one of the biggest sleepers, I think, in fantasy so far. I don't think a lot of people really saw this coming. So – I'm sure people are trying to snack him up right now, you know, to pick him up, especially due to some injuries. Like you said, injuries happened a lot this week, especially due to the blitzes. Five quarterbacks are currently injured here, starting good quarterbacks. The biggest one, I guess, biggest name out of them all, Joe Burrow, who's going to be missing 3 weeks. He's having surgery.
Three months. 3 to 6 months.
6 months. Yeah, 3 months.
And
yeah.
if they're already in the dumpster, which they probably will be, mm-hmm. You know, Browning is not going to. Browning threw 3 interceptions in the first game that he did. He keeps doing that. They're not going to win games, and the defense is kind of shot there. Why bring him back at all this year? Let him heal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So again, there's the injuries there. So say somebody had, Joe Burrow or one of these guys here. Joe Burrow, obviously, again, gone for 3 months. So they're going to try to find a quarterback. Is there somebody that still might be on the waiver wire that somebody can pick up here to replace Joe Burrow? Because you said, like yourself, it's like most times people try and pick up the backup here because he's going to fall in line. But Jake Browning, he can only get you so far. He barely scraped out a victory there, you know, after turning the ball over 3 times.
Well, I will say this. I've got 3 names for you. The first one on my list is Carson Wentz. Carson is basically not owned in any sleeper league, 0%. Now, that he's owned in some, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Carson Wentz has had success in this league. His second year in the league, he threw 33 touchdowns. And against just 7 interceptions, and I think over 3,200 yards. Plus, he has some mobility. Now, he's not a running quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But he's had 200 to 400 yards every year he's started. So, and his last chance starting was in 2021, and he did pretty good there. 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, maybe 4,000 yards passing. I think with these receivers in Minnesota, I think Justin Jefferson, most people drafted Ja'Marr Chase as the number one receiver this year. I'm not most people. I passed on Chase because I typically go running back in the first round. But my number one wide receiver this year in the preseason was Justin Jefferson because it's almost impossible for fantasy receivers to repeat as number one. It has happened. Antonio Bryant did it, but it doesn't happen very often. So I went with Justin Jefferson. Now with Browning, I doubt that many people have Ja'Marr Chase as their number one anymore. Mm-hmm. But you do have to be very careful because that offensive line is missing the two offensive guards, which is going to make it harder. And they also lost their starting running back, Aaron
Jones. Yep.
Aaron Jones, yeah, went out with a hammy. Now, he may only be down a week, and I think that's actually good. We'll get to him when we get into the running backs. But I like Carson Wentz. I do like Jake Browning if you're desperate. Daniel Jones is not available on very many leagues right now because he's the number two fantasy quarterback after 2 weeks. But Jake Browning, he's also on 0% rosters. Now, Sleeper hosts so many leagues that he could be on 1,000 leagues and still come up as 0%. You just have to be aware of that. The guy I think is interesting to me is your guy. Russell Wilson's only on 13% of rosters in Sleeper leagues. That means 87% of leagues, he's available on the waiver wire. Now, I think he's more of a boom or bust. I think you got to look over his shoulder because I love this Jackson Dart kid. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, are they going to sprinkle him in some? Well, I think that's smart if they do because eventually you know for Dabble to keep his job, he's going to have to go to Dart because they're not going to win. The team's just not good enough to win right now. So for him to keep his job, he's got to show that he's building for the future. And I think starting Scadabo and Dart goes a long way in giving him an extra year. So I think politically it's smart for Dabble to start Dart at some point. But I don't think you just put him in after Russell Wilson throws for 300 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson. You have one more? Possibly,
Jake Browning.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got good receivers, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, you know. So I just, if I'm taking those three, I'm probably taking Wentz first and Wilson second.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because in a couple of leagues we have taxi squads, and I drafted Dart after his preseason, and I've got him on my taxi squad. So even if I take Wilson, I can play him until Dart becomes a starter, and then I swap him out.
Ah, excellent. Now, you know, we talked about the quarterbacks and the impact that they have, but when a quarterback goes down, obviously you have, like you said, Ja'Marr Chase. Now with Wentz, you know, you think that's going to make Justin Jefferson probably get some more looks now and do better and perform fantasy-wise. Do you think anybody, again, is going to really be affected by these moves, like a lot? Like, is there, you know, I guess – people might be afraid to kind of start them or not.
Everybody.
Yeah, like who do you think is going to be most
quarterback
effective?
Affects everybody, but the hidden truth is the offensive linemen that went down. When you have two starting guards go down like Minnesota did, Detroit is playing with a new center because their center from last year retired, two new guards, and you saw in week one against Green Bay, they struggled. All right. Week two against Chicago. Chicago is not Green Bay. They're not there yet. Okay. And it was at home and everybody knows Goff plays better in a dome than he does on grass. The first game was at Lambeau. Okay. He throws five touchdown passes in that Chicago game this weekend. But the offensive line looked much better. Tate Rutledge is the guard that Detroit drafted this year. I believe he went to Georgia. This kid's going to be a star. He really is. But there's still it's a communication thing. Taylor Decker said something that I think you can appreciate as a football guy. He said that, people saw Tate Rutledge block the wrong play on one of the plays. Decker came out and said, "Hey, I blocked the same play that Rutledge was blocking, and the other three guys blocked the play that was actually ran." Said our communication in Green Bay was just poor, and so they worked on that. That's Dan Campbell's a great coach. Okay, yeah, he lost two coordinators and eight total coaches, but when you have communication problems, you fix them. And that's what they did that whole week before the Chicago game. I'm really looking forward to see what they do, because I'm a Lions fan, what they do against the Ravens in Baltimore. I think that's going to be a very interesting Monday.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a great match.
We've had some great games this year. That Baltimore-Buffalo game.
Ooh.
My God, that was a great game.
That was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Greg Kellogg. You can find him on X, Gregory L. Kellogg. The sports affiliation is where you can find a bunch of podcasts by him, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Absolutely. We talked about a couple of injuries here and there. We're going to do a little stardom sit-em, I guess, for this week. Week three, like you said, there's some great matchups this whole season, but who are you looking to start and who you might want to avoid this week?
Well, okay, I didn't prepare for that. I was looking, but I can do that. I was looking at players to pick up because of all the injuries. And so one of the players that I would look at starting in a flex position is the new running back in Minnesota. Now, granted, their line looked horrendous. It got J.J. McCarthy injured. But, again, what do you do after you look terrible? You work on the issues. And I think Minnesota will do that. And I love this Jordan Mason kid. I really do. He runs hard, too. And he's going to be the full-time starter now. There's not going to be a lot of sharing in that backfield. So we're going to get a chance to see what he does. And he is owned in 84% of leagues. So most leagues have this guy owned already. And I got your kid, Cam Scadabo, as another kid to pick up. He's owned in 73% of leagues. But here's a name for you. Bashan Tuten. Okay. He's the backup in Jacksonville. And when they shipped Tank Bigsby out, when they traded him to the Eagles, that opened it up for Tuten. Tuten's going to have a role. He's going to be a change of pace back for Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that's going to have a role. And if Etienne goes down, which he has done before, he becomes a full-time starter. Another kid that you might want to pick up is my Michigan boy, Blake Corum. I think J.J. Zachariasen mentioned Blake Corum this week as a guy to look at because he's one injury away from a top 10 running back job, because that's what Kyren Williams is, the top 10 running back. So, you know, who do you start? You know, the Giants are giving up a lot of yardage to running backs. I might look at who they're playing this week.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Who are they playing this week?
They're playing the Chiefs.
You're a Giants fan. You should know that.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm trying to cover so many, but they're playing the Chiefs.
Okay, so Isaiah Pacheco has looked terrible.
Yep.
Do you give him another week or not? I probably won't. I'll probably tell you to sit Pacheco, even though the Giants have looked bad. Carolina is another team you want to play your running backs against. So, yeah, off the top of my head, if they're a top 24 guy, you probably want to play them. This in Snap, Crackle, Pop, I look at the people you don't want to play, the top 24 running backs that you want to sit. I said sit Dylan Sampson because they signed their rookie, and he actually got some playing time in week two, Quinshon Judkins. And he looked pretty good in the playing time he got. I think as the season goes on, he'll get more and more. So Quinshon Judkins is a guy that I would look at running.
He just got listed as the starter this week. He moved up to in his starting position.
Yeah.
So
And he's going to get probably 15 carries. I don't think they'll overload him now. And Dylan Sampson is still the third down back. He's a good receiver.
Yeah.
So he'll still get some looks, but he's got to get in the end zone to really be fantasy worthy. Now, one guy that I thought looked really good but didn't get a lot of opportunity is in Houston, and that's Woody Marks. He looked explosive. He had better, you know, yards per carry than Nick Chubb had. He caught one pass and took it 37 yards. I mean, he just looked explosive. He's just not getting the opportunities he needs right now.
Right. All right. Any other people that you would think you would avoid this week now? Maybe due to injuries?
I've got a good friend that's another Hall of Famer named Scott Engel.
Oh, we know
I
Scott.
I went into the Hall the same year you did. Yeah, Scott's a great guy. Scott always says, when in doubt because of injury, go with a healthy player. So there's no way I'm starting Daniels this week. I'm just – Jaden Daniels is on my bench because I don't know what his status is. Now, you watch the practice reports. He's probably going to be limited or non-participant early this week. If late in the week he's a full participant, then you can go ahead and feel pretty safe about playing him. But for now, yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm just not. I told people to sit this tonight. I told people to sit Jordan Love. Green Bay is the real deal. They really are. But Myles Garrett, they're going to play in Cleveland, and Myles Garrett already has 3.5 sacks, including 1.5 against Lamar Jackson, who is the most mobile quarterback in the league. If they can sack Jackson 1.5 times, what are they going to do to Jordan Love? I just think that this is going to be a tough game for him. Yeah, I do expect Green Bay to win because they've got a very strong defense. But I just think Jordan Love is going to struggle to be a top 12 quarterback this week.
All right. We're talking to Gregory Kellogg here. You can find him on X at Gregory L. Kellogg, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Joe, let's wrap it up with one more question here for Gregory. We can get him up out of here, and hopefully we can have him on one more time again, too. A lot of knowledge about fantasy football. He's been doing this for a long time, so it's great to get the knowledge from him.
Absolutely. Now, Greg, a lot of people have this same kind of debate about fantasy football and drafts and what to do, what you can't do, what you shouldn't do. When it comes to drafting, you know, I know that there's a lot of people have their own kind of like, you know, plan going into the draft. But in your opinion, in the first couple of rounds and whatnot, like, a lot of people like to go running back first round. Some people now are kind of starting to shift gears a little bit when it's PPR, like especially full PPR, and they're going to say, oh, I'm taking wide receiver no matter what within the first couple of rounds. In your opinion, like, should you always still to this day continue to draft running back in round one, or is this kind of like, just kind of like, you know, dealer's choice?
Round one, no. I do think in the first – 4 or 5 rounds, you need to have 2 running backs and 1 or 2 wide receivers. Now, I used to draft Travis Kelce in the first round because Travis Kelce in fantasy in years past would score 60 to 100 points more over the course of a season than the second best tight end. Not the 12th best, the second best. So he was a difference maker at the position. I think that you go with the best player available, but you running back is the most injury prone position in the NFL. And you don't win your league in the draft. You can lose it there. You win your league by managing your team. Every week, hit the waiver wire and improve your roster. Every week, there's some kid, Troy Franklin in Denver. This kid's got 15 targets in 2 games, and he's catching the ball. Yeah. 12 catches and 15 targets, and he's only owned on 8% of rosters in sleeper. The kid's still a free agent. Go get him. I mean, he's playing well. Bo Nix is a good quarterback, and we know that coaching staff in Denver is good, so go get him. Juwan Johnson, people look at his history and say, well, he can't last. He's got 20 targets in 2 weeks. You know, who else are they throwing to? They're throwing to Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave. That's it. As long as you're throwing to Johnson, he's going to put up points. It's that simple. So improve your roster. He's only owned in 51% of leagues, which is amazing to me because as a tight end, he got 11 targets in week one and 9 in week two. 20 targets in 2 weeks, you've got to get that guy on your roster. If you don't, you know, if you have a great tight end, then fine. But, you know, Brock Bowers has a bum knee right now. We don't know how good he's going to be. George Kittle is out for probably 2 to 3 more weeks. Jake Tongas is a guy I'd look at because San Francisco throws to the tight end. Now, he didn't get a lot of looks in the first start with Mac Jones. And Mac Jones will be there again this week because Brock Purdy's another one of those quarterbacks that's out. So you've got to wait and see. But if you got no tight end or your tight end is way underperforming, why not roll the dice on a Jake Tongas and see if he can't help you? Yeah, Zach Ertz has a touchdown in each of the first two games. And Zach Ertz has been playing this game a long time. I think he's 36 years old.
Yeah, it's almost too long at this point, but he's still going.
Well, you'd think so, but he's got a touchdown in the first two games, and not everybody can say that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say manage your roster. If you go 0-2, the season's not over. It's a long season. Keep managing your team. The worst thing that happens in fantasy leagues is when you get owners abandon their team.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, I haven't played in a while, too, and I still
nobody likes to see somebody get an automatic. If I'm a 1-8, I'm still trying to win each week because I can play spoiler. You know, I just – at 0-8, I'd like to beat the undefeated team. You know, it gives you – I'm a Michigan fan. We can lose five games in a year. As long as we beat Ohio State, it's a good year. It's a good year. You know, and yes, I do like the fact that we went undefeated and won the national championship. You know what I like even more than the national championship? The fact that Ohio State won the national championship last year and we still beat them.
So there you go. That's right. It's like if you could beat the champion, hey, we still got that at least too, right? The rivalry lives on. There you go. Absolutely. So Greg Kellogg joining us tonight, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. The Sports Affiliation on YouTube, check it out, and on X, great listens, great podcasts out there. Our boy Iggy helps run that company too as well. He's a great guy. We love having him on, talk some more fantasy. So, Greg, thank you so much for joining us. We hope to have you on again, talk some more fantasy. Enjoy the rest of your night, buddy.
Whenever you like, except in October, I'm headed to Thailand for a month.
Oh man. See you later. Enjoy that. Absolutely.
Well, my daughter's opening up a health clinic with a doctor friend of hers over there. So we're going to go over and help her open it.
Excellent. That sounds amazing. Sounds amazing, man. Check it out. Well,
I have a good family. I've got good kids. I really do.
That's awesome. Oh, hell yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. All
right. Jimmy, Joe, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, buddy.
Hey, everybody watching, like and subscribe. Give me a second to follow.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And we'll see you soon, buddy. All right. There you go. Greg Kellogg. That's right. And again, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Again, he's been doing it for a long time. He knows everybody here at Grumblings Media, though. Again, so it's good to get some knowledge from him, too. He's still active doing stuff. He's still got a lot of different teams. He's talking taxi and everything, all this other stuff that I don't even know about anymore because I've been out of the game for so long. So good stuff. Good pickups. We hope to have him on again. So, Joe. There you go. I had to take just a big deep breath here. Flush my fantasy mind. All right, so let's get back into it. What a week it was. Again, and
what a week.
You know, you talk about ups and downs, especially fantasy and stuff.
A lot of downs.
I'm sure a lot of owners last week were bugging out because a lot of their guys weren't doing anything. And then this year just flipped the script. It's all of a sudden, boom, just like that. So, I mean, tale of two different weeks and stuff, and that's just the NFL.
I mean, it's the NFL, but, like, oh, my God, what happened in week two, all the injuries that have transpired, whether it directly affects your fantasy player or it's somebody on the team that affects them, like the offensive line. I mean, we've seen linemen fall like flies this past week, where guards are dropping like flies. They're injured. They're going to be out for significant time for varying different teams. And it seems like it's becoming a trend, and it's only week two, everybody. Mm-hmm. Injuries are piling up, and it's scary in fantasy right now. Like now in week three coming up, I'm petrified. I hope none of my players get injured in week three. Like it is uncanny the speed of which everybody that is getting hurt, and significant players too. Jaden Daniels, one of them. Joe Burrow, we mentioned earlier. Like, you know, and even it's happening to like when your offensive linemen get hurt, it directly affects your running backs who you have. You know, Aaron Jones, we mentioned earlier in the show. He's going to be out for a few weeks, couple weeks at least. Now that gives ample opportunity if you already have him, and Jordan Mason going to be the full-fledged feature back who's going to get not only was he already getting the majority of the touches and getting the majority of the opportunities, but now he's the man. Now there mm-hmm. is no Aaron Jones cutting into his touches. So teams that already have Mason, because he definitely got drafted in pretty much almost every league, they're overjoyed. I got a starting caliber back that I can have for at least a couple weeks. And then it doesn't stop there, because if he performs well, guess what, Aaron? Aaron Jones, I don't know, man. You just lost your job. You lost the opportunities that you would have otherwise had. So it's time in week three for a lot of players to step up and try to earn their way and get either getting more snaps or just flat out taking over the job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's give a shout out to some of our guys in the comment. We love it when you guys are out there.
What's going on, everybody?
Christian Dickinson's in the house. He said he might have had a little too much optimism for the Giants here. He said where I'm at currently is just getting rid of Shane Bowen. How about that? Wants to get rid of Shane Bowen just like that. We've got Philly Mike in the house with us too. Absolutely. He's lighting up the chat. And then he also says he doesn't think that Jake Browning's going to get the start on that. Everything I'm seeing right now says it's leading to that. But I can get it if he doesn't. You know what I mean? But, again, they just grabbed Brett Rypien. I mean, he just joined the team. So what's he going to do? You know what I'm saying? I don't think – especially if you put him in, he's not lighting it up, you know? No. So, like, sort of like what Greg's saying, I mean, at this point now, if Joe Burrow's out that long – like, what's this team really going to do? You cashed in to pay all of your weapons. Barely brought back in, you know, Trey Hendrickson. The defense is still struggling. That offensive line is terrible, which is why your quarterback is injured. And now what are you going to do? Again, do you try to still push this forward until Burrow comes out? I don't know. I don't think Browning's going to be able to do any of that. So what do they do? You know, I don't think they make any trades either, because they can't.
I mean, honestly, like, this is ridiculous, to be honest with you. Like, we've talked about it on this show several times and said, as soon as your starter goes, especially a high-end starter like a Joe Burrow, you know, like a Jaden Daniels, who's most likely is doubtful for this week leading up against Vegas. And when you lose your starter, that is such a huge blow to your offense and the way it runs and how smoothly it can go and just the talent that they bring. You lose that. Your team is decimated offensively when your quarterback goes down. You're going to struggle to put up points. It's 100% written on the wall. Joe Burrow not being in Cincinnati ready to go next week, guess what? More than likely, Browning is not going to be the guy to lead you to the triumphant winning circle. Like, it's just not going to happen. And, yeah, there might be some weird, like, couple weeks throughout the season where they manage to pull a win off here and there, but it's not going to be up to the level that they need to be in order to make the playoffs now or even be in the hunt. Like, this is a bigger deal than people are kind of looking into. Like, I understand we hear the big name Joe Burrow and everyone's like, oh, Cincinnati's done. But no, this is catastrophic, because this is yet another big-time injury that Joe Burrow has sustained in his short career. The dude is only 28 years old, everybody. Guess what? Does anybody remember Andrew Luck from the Indianapolis Colts? He retired when he was 29. And the crazy thing is the fact that there's been – let me put it this way. So Joe Burrow has sustained – he's been sacked a ton of times more than Andrew Luck at 28 years old, versus Andrew Luck, who's 29, decided to retire because he's like, I'm not going to continue doing this, getting my body beat up and you know, worrying about getting another concussion and whatnot. So Joe Burrow is only 28. Joe Burrow has sustained significant injury after injury. And I don't think this is a thought in the room yet, but Joe Burrow's got to be careful with his health. I don't think he's going to retire or anything like Luck kind of did, but this is dangerous now. This guy continues to get hurt every single year, it seems like. And it decimates the Cincinnati Bengals and what they're able to do. They have to have this high-powered offense in order to stay in the hunt or even make the playoffs. And now they lost their biggest attribute in their quarterback. I think it's off the rails at this point, Jim. I don't see it going any other way. We said it 100 times. You lose your quarterback, your season's pretty much done.
Yeah, especially them. Again, a team that went all in on that offense and Joe Burrow. And it sucks, again, because we've talked about this guy, the output that he does and how he's in contention for like an MVP candidate every year. It's just the fact that he was injured or coming off an injury too. So he ends up always being that comeback player of the year because he's just, you know, coming back from some sort of injury here. And I think that once he went down in the injury too, he was just knew it. That's like, do it again? Like, seriously. And the fact that it's like a category 3, which is super hyper extended.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. Nuts. So, again, he's out. That's got to put a fork in him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for when a team's here, that's just – it sucks because, again, they get the first win. You're like, all right, this is maybe a different Cincinnati team. And, no, just like that, it's over.
No, and that's the thing. It's like the season's over with right now. But here's my problem. I have a big problem with the Cincinnati Bengals right now as an organization because – they went out, and I understand, I get it. You had to pay the money for Ja'Marr Chase. You had to pay the money for T. Higgins. You had to keep Trey Hendrickson happy at least for 1 year. You got to get Shamar Stewart in there, the young rookie that they have. Like, they had to go out of their way to get put the money in those spots and keep those very highly talented players. I get all that. But you didn't invest in the offensive line. You need to protect the biggest commodity in your organization, and that's Joe Burrow. You got to protect him. They have neglected year after year protecting Joe Burrow and allowing him to stay in the pocket and not get hit like every other play. So much so that I got the stats right here. He's already been sacked 27 more times than Andrew Luck despite playing 15 fewer games than him. Luck retired, like I said earlier, 29 years old due to injuries. Burrow was 28. What the hell are you guys doing out there in Cincinnati? Wake the hell up and get this guy some help. Otherwise, he's going to be leaving the field every year on a stretcher.
Absolutely. Mike Tackett's out there. He's our guy. He says Toe Burrow. So there you go. That could be the nickname.
Good dad joke right there.
Yeah, there it is. It is. Way to go. Yeah. Way to go, Dad. All right. Shout out to Eric Bowers out there, too. Shout out to another Giants guy. He said Giants losing Wink Eric Martindale Bowers 2 years ago hurt the Giants defense. Was a shame that he and Dable couldn't coexist. And you know what? Again, I think a lot of the locker room was behind Wink Martindale. You know what happens when people feel intimidated and stuff, start losing it, they get rid of that. You know, start losing the power. You're going towards him? It's time to let you go, buddy. Now time to walk. You know what I mean? Get off of it. Get off of here. And now he's being exposed again. That the team is out of control. Penalty after penalty. Even though, again, I think some of them were suspect by the referees last week, but still, disciplined. The same old crap every single year. You know what I mean? It's just crazy, and I think people just aren't buying in. Malik Nabers looks like he's just out again for his guys, Russell Wilson players, but he's just in his own mind. He's just like, forget this guy. We're just playing. We're doing our thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what the Giants pulled off last week. I got to say, I'm really impressed. I thought the Cowboys were going to steamroll through the Giants, get an easy win, and not have to even blink twice. The Giants gave them every bit a run for their money, defensively, offensively. I mean, that was a literal shootout. What an amazing and exciting game to watch as a football fan. And that actually leads me to more questions about the Cowboys. I mean, this is a Cowboys team that, you know, first week, I get it, they're playing the Eagles, you know, but they were competitive, I felt like, in that game. They kind of stayed around a little bit, but the lack of defense also hurt them yet again, and it did against the Giants. The Cowboys defense has dramatically declined, everyone. Like, mm-hmm. you know, no more DeMarcus Lawrence there. No more Micah Parsons. That has, you can see now just how much of an impact that has made already.
Right. And you can see, like, you know, Greg even brought it up too, the fact that, right, you know, Jerry Jones came out in the press conference like, you know, when you can't stop the run, you know, I got to get a guy so I can stop the run, you know, it'd be pass protection game could do. You know, be with a run. And okay, the Giants weren't able to run, but they passed all over your ass, and that gets a lot more yardage than a run does most of the time, unless you're Saquon Barkley. And that's what they did. And they attacked Trayvon Diggs. Again, not the guy he used to be. That injury is definitely sat with him, and we already kind of saw it after that injury. You get that surgery, you're not right, and he's not right. He's never going to be that same guy, and you see that they just picked on him. I wish they picked on him more. They could have. Whatever I saw, especially in that big touchdown pass here where he kind of went up, turned, and got it on him, I just saw him line up on him. I'm like, there, he's one-on-one with Diggs. Go. Do it. Yeah. And they did, and bang, easy, easy touchdown. So other teams, again, are going to look at that game that are better than the Giants and pick all over these guys.
You can definitely see that Diggs is not the same player he was before the injury. Like, it's still bothering him, whether it be a mental thing, because sometimes that happens. Like, you just constantly in the back of your mind, you're thinking about that injury and hoping that it sustains itself and doesn't, you don't re-injure it, and it's always in the back of your mind, so it kind of distracts you a little bit. It could be just that, or maybe there's still something wrong with him. He's never going to be the Trayvon Diggs that we were accustomed to before the injury. Our boy Mike Tackett is chiming in, everybody.
That's right.
He said, how hasn't Kirk Cousins been traded yet? Well, you know what, Mike? I mean, we talked about this in the offseason. The Atlanta Falcons were kind of hemming and hawing, going back and forth. Yeah, I think we might take some calls. We might see what we can get for him. And then they're like, they slammed the door shut as the season got closer. And they're like, ah, guess what? No, we're going to keep him as a veteran backup in case Michael Penix maybe, you know, potentially might get injured or something like that. And then he can come in. Or at the very least, he's going to be a backup. He's going to be kind of like a shoulder to cry on if Penix does, in fact, struggle at any point this season, because he's done so well up to this point in just a couple of weeks. That seems to be like he's pretty confident. He's doing a good job. I don't foresee Kirk Cousins getting traded. I mean, maybe the talk starts to stir a little bit as we get closer to week 8, you know, and then teams are starting to call, because obviously, like, this past week has been absolutely ridiculous in terms of injuries for quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks. And it might, you know, maybe it pressures some teams. Maybe they hit the panic button a little bit and they're like, you know what? We can't do this. Like Cincinnati, Burrow's going to be out for almost the whole season, if not the whole season. Like, I don't see him coming back from the IR. I think they just shut him down and be done with it. The season's over. It's too long of an injury to come back from. So, and to be 100% when he does get back. And by that time, they probably won't even be in the playoff race. But maybe Cincinnati makes a move here. Maybe they call Atlanta and say, hey, listen, we didn't expect this to happen. We lost Joe. If we want this season to continue and maybe even give us the slightest shot of continuing and competing in this division, as tough as it is, and maybe making the playoffs, maybe they pick up the phone and call Atlanta and right now and say, hey, what do you want for him? Because we're desperate.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's going to be who's the most desperate, right? You see Kirk Cousins, it's sad. You see him on the sidelines, right? Just with the helmet on the whole game. It's he's potentially going to go in. He's ready. You know what I mean? Most backups you see, they're like, they got the headset on or whatever. They're listening in. They're doing this. He's just like waiting, like itching. It's like, all right, come on. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to play right now. Put me in. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, chill. Like, all right, I don't think you're going to be going in anytime soon. Take the helmet off for a little bit, buddy. You know, relax. So he's waiting. He's waiting to get onto that field. And again, I think if it does go down, it would only because somebody's super desperate. We see now the Minnesota Vikings, what's going on with them. And when will they hit desperation mode? This season so far, the first two games has not looked pretty. We talked about it last week with J.J. McCarthy and his start not looking good at all, and if it wasn't for a pass interference call, bringing the ball down into scoring range, basically, and then making a few good marches here and making some plays with his legs, too, you know, they don't come out of a win with a win week one. So they potentially should have been 0-2, and then it continued this week. against a team that still was tough, but you know, in Atlanta, and I know you picked that team to win, but with what that defense was doing and holding Atlanta to just field goals, you and that offense that you have, like I said, it really just, again, I just see that vision of Mr. Deeds and Crazy Eyes with the Ferrari at the end of the movie and just say, oh, boom, and it crashes. All these things are fast. You have such a good team, good defense, good offensive weapons. Yes, I get the offensive line got banged up last week, but before that, you weren't playing very good. And maybe J.J. McCarthy just isn't ready. And the fact that they put all their chips in on him, I told you in the beginning of the season, I think this is crazy. Why didn't they just try to get another veteran there to help him through things or start them and then put him in? To put it all in,
You're not the only one, bro. You're not the only one. Like we both were saying that same thing, you know, in the same tune with J.J. McCarthy. Like, I understand the excitement and what he brings mobility-wise, and that's probably what the biggest thing was, is, like, the fans and the coaching staff was like, man, this kid can really run, though. Like, I think we can make this work. You know, like, yeah, he's got a cannon for an arm, but guess what? Something that he doesn't have, touch on the football. Like, this guy he can throw bullet passes, no problem at all. Is he accurate? Hell yeah, he is. But when it comes to just, you know, touching that ball over the cornerback's shoulder to get drop it in the basket to the wide receiver, that's where he's kind of like struggling a little bit. And, you know, and it's shown. And the indecision at times. I understand the speed of the game is so much faster than college, but J.J. McCarthy, he is just not ready. And it's clear. Like, they literally have thrown him to the wolves and say, hey, he's going to have to learn on the fly. We're going to continue to work with him. And hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to start to see the product that we envision. But I'm telling you right now, the kid is struggling. He's panicking at times. You could just see it. Like, panicking, just taking off and running and trying to do everything with his legs. Guess what? That only takes you so far. And sometimes it gets you injured like last week. And so now he's going to be missing some time. So the Vikings now are in trouble. You know, is it going to take so long for him to come back and be 100%? And by that time, are they going to have four straight losses? Like, I think I will say this, though. The fact that they do have Carson Wentz, he's a veteran. He's been there before. He can win games. Yes, he isn't the flash in the pan like he was when he was with the Eagles for the one season and kind of, like, took over the league, basically, played extremely well. But he still has that in him, I feel like. I don't think it's gone. And with Kevin O'Connell as his coach, a guy that they're going to understand and they have some chemistry already as a veteran and a very smart and bright offensive minded coach. They're going to come together. They're going to have a game plan. They're going to execute it. Wentz isn't going to panic, unlike a young JJ has. So maybe this might be good in a sense for the Vikings to where it's going to add some leadership in the huddle, a guy that people can look at and say, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy play before. All right, we're cool. So I'm curious to see how the Vikings perform now that Wentz is at the helm. And it might be better than people think.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the question. And it's kind of interesting the way it's kind of transpired with it all, right? J.J. McCarthy gets his first two starts ever, you know, and now he's injured. So you don't have to say, hey, this ain't working now. We can't bench him now. Like, do we just got to live with this or whatever? He's got an injury at least for a couple weeks. So now you bring in a veteran. Mind you, and now I think Carson Wentz now just made history or something like too. He's got played for six.
Yes.
Or signed. Started. Not played, but start, played not for started. Six different. Yeah, started.
Started for six started for different
six in six consecutive years. So that is crazy. He's moved around, but again, he has experience. He is a Super Bowl champion technically too. And he knows what to play and how to play. He can make some plays with his legs too. So that veteran mentality, something that Kevin O'Connell can easily work with, not just a younger guy that's raw, that's fresh, that you still kind of mold. A guy that's been there, he's, again, and look at the coaches that he's been under too as well, under, you know, Andy Reid as well, you know. So a good veteran here, like you said, bring him in week three. I think it's an upgrade at this point. You know what I mean?
I mean, right? Right? Like, I mean, that's how I'm kind of looking at it.
Because right, and it's the one downside is not having Aaron Jones, but, again, you still have Jordan there.
Dude, it is not – Listen, people are making this a bigger deal than what it is. Aaron Jones lost his job already before the season started. Like, Jordan Mason is younger already. Jordan Mason is way more productive than him in the same offense. He's getting all the touches, not Aaron Jones anymore. And Jones could see this. He knew the writing was on the wall. That's why they brought in Jordan Mason, because he's younger, because he was so productive in San Francisco. They're like, oh, we could definitely use that guy. That guy could end up being our starter for the future. They bring him in, they trade for him, bring him in, and they give him a big deal. They give him a raise and everything. So they're not going to let that money go to that investment go to waste. So, like, here he is. Now he's the starter. Now he's got even more opportunities that since Jones goes down. So, I mean, I think the Vikings, is as much as maybe some Vikings fans are saying, oh, man, J.J. McCarthy's hurt, that's it. Like, I guess, you know, even when he comes back, like, we might be so wounded and beat up that we won't even be able to be the team that we envisioned. But at the same time, like, I say no. You got a veteran quarterback who's going to manage the game. He's not going to be asked to, like, just freaking do everything himself. He's going to manage the game, distribute the football. And remember this. Jordan Addison was suspended for the first two games. Guess what, everybody? He's making a big return in week three. And now you got Justin Jefferson, Jay Jetta, if you will. And now you got Addison coming back. And, oh, my God, TJ, you know, I mean, this is going to be awesome for them. And they have a guy who's been there, done that. I think that the Vikings may be even better now that they have Wentz.
All right. Yeah, before we get into our next couple segments, we got to plug some, you know, good stuff here. The Grumblings Media swag. It's out there. It's out. You got to get the new black mug, dude. Check it out. I don't have it yet, but I got to get it myself, too. Check it out. It fits more coffee than the white one. You got to do it. Maybe black coffee with the black mug. Go black on black. So Grumblings Media, the classic T-shirt, too. We're working on our own, too, right now. So we got some bunch there. So there's another funny Trump one out there. So Grumblings Media, shop the swag. There it is. It's looked down in the ticker, too. You can check it out where you can get it. Support the stream. Support the company. We're doing a lot of great things here, and we really appreciate you guys out there, too, for all the help and support that you give us, too. So,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Let's go. Continue that support. Help
continue
us out.
Continue the support.
Listen, it's so simple, and this don't even cost you any money, by the way. Head over to YouTube at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share it. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Spread the word. That's what this is all about, and we want you guys to be active with us. This is an interactive NFL talk show, so you ask a question, you want to make an opinion, you want to make a comment, go free field. Yeah, feel free to do so. That's what I was trying to say. So down in the comment section. Like Mike Tackett, by the way. We were talking about the Cowboys earlier. This comment right here is about the Cowboys. He goes, who would have guessed that getting rid of arguably the best linebacker in the league and trading for a nose tackle who has passed his prime would cause a downgrade in the Dallas defense. Hashtag Dementia Jones. I mean, listen, people, you're not going to get good commentating like that from anywhere but here. So make sure you dial in.
Absolutely. All right, we've got Mike Tackett also. He says, he posed a question here before we get into our next segment. He said, I got into sports betting this year, and thanks to Baker Mayfield and also Jim Harbaugh, I went undefeated on Monday night. I made some nice play money. Do you guys bet on games?
I do. Every once in a while I do. A lot of the times what I do with my bets, though, is I don't know. I guess I'm a little a little bit more aggressive when I bet. Not in terms of bigger, more money that I put down, but, I usually do, long shot bets. So, I like doing, 8-leg parlays and everything, 10-leg parlays or whatnot. And I only put, a couple bucks down. That way, even if I lose, I'm I really don't care. But if I hit, though, the pay is big. The pay is real big. So, they're long shots, so more than likely I won't win. But it's fun to do. I just do it just for fun.
Yeah, I don't really gamble. It's just not my thing. I ain't got a lot of time for that either, too. And my money is precious to me. So, and again, people say, "Hey, you invest money, you try and get some," but solid for me. So
this dude's got a big family. He's got kids that he's got to chase around. He definitely don't have time.
I don't have time. We got two podcasts. I'm it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. This world is so busy, man. and I got to talk about 32 teams. It's nuts, man. Like, what? My team sucks. So, I mean, a lot of stuff going down. So, all right, Joe. Speaking about stress and a lot of stuff going down, let's talk about the 0-2 teams, right?
Okay.
Teams, we're going to see who should hit the panic button, you know, or maybe who should just like, no, we're right. I think they can bounce back. So let's look at the 0-2 teams here. Panic or not, you know, let's get right into it. The Chiefs, they're 0-2. They've lost to the Philadelphia Eagles now, too, and in this one. They lost to the Chargers week one. At first, I'd say the first halves of those games were dominated by the other team, and then they were able to sink a little bit in there, but still coming up short. Travis Kelce with the drop last week, too, on top of it. Patrick Mahomes overthrowing Thornton, you know, but then hitting the big bomb after that, too, and scrambling around, trying to make plays out of nowhere, too, not trusting in his receivers, a lot like what happened in the Super Bowl, but we've seen it now for 2 weeks straight, you know. The Chiefs, I mean, we said this too, with Rashi Rice being suspended for 6 weeks, you know, six games rather, they needed to win. Like, this is must win games here, and they haven't. So they've got some tougher competition coming down the line too. Well, after, you know, the Giants.
So for the Chiefs, I'll say, like, I don't think it's panic mode yet. Like, they're 0-2, but, When you look at the Chiefs, like, they already have, we already know what they have. They have a really good defense. They have an offense that, when it's hitting on all cylinders, it's pretty tough to stop. And one of the better quarterbacks in the league, who's probably the best quarterback to have when broken down plays occur. Like, the guy just does uncanny things that you would never think are possible. But for the Chiefs overall, I think they got a great coaching staff there. So, like, I'm not really worried yet with the Chiefs now, and got to remember too, the first two opponents that they had to face, pretty darn good. So I'm not willing to hit the panic mode button yet on the Chiefs, but I'll tell you who I am willing to hit the panic mode button on, and that's the 0-2 Dolphins, who have actually only scored 35 points in 2 weeks. Points against, though, 66 points they're giving up already.
What?
Injuries are mounting up in Miami. Tua's playing poorly. O-line is in shambles. They lost both their guards this past week. Like, they're trying to scrape whatever free agents that they can bring in and work out and maybe figure out the roster to try to turn this thing around. The coaching at the top level with McDaniels isn't working anymore. Now, I don't blame everything on him. He's still a creative mind on the offensive side, but I'll tell you this right now. Offense and defense go hand in hand. What don't they have? Defense. Mm-hmm. Defense is struggling still. No pass rush still. Like, Jalen Phillips, where are you? You know, Chop Robinson, what have you been doing lately? Like, I don't see a means to an end this season to where they're going to get back to their winning ways and get kick into high gear and release that powerful offense that we are used to seeing. It is in dire need of a change. And I say this, and I got to say, McDaniels, your time is running out. And this year is going to kind of put a stamp on it. If you continue to struggle this year, my guess and my opinion is I think that you're going to end up being fired at the end of this year. Not another year, you know, of like, oh, well, you know, it wasn't our year this year, so let's pass the bill and move on to next season. Guess what? This is your year to prove it. If you can't turn this thing around, bro, which it doesn't look good, by the way, I think that panic has to be, you know, all through South Beach right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, again, I thought at least I knew Miami's going to take a step back, but I thought at least they put something up better than this. Even Tua, it starts at Tua, too, because the mistakes week one, missed throws week two, again, underthrowing even guys, you know, we already bust on them for, you know, weakness and throwing the deep ball and stuff like that, but you could see receivers getting frustrated. His big time plays were even to, the running back. So, again, when you had a, you know, a team like, you know, Patriots, you had them, you had a chance to win and you still couldn't do it in the big moment too, at the end to try and close out the game too, you know, the pick just to close it up. It was over, you know what I mean? So, and where were you throwing? Like, seriously, bro. Like, you turned and looked. There's literally a defender right in front of the receiver and then a defender behind him. Like, and he threw it right at him. You're like, what the frig are you looking at? So, big questions there. Mike McDaniels, like you said, maybe his time's come. It was cool. It was fresh. You know, he had a different take on things.
I still think he's good.
I get it. I mean, that doesn't change how good you are and stuff like that, too. But with leadership and stuff like that, maybe he just doesn't have it there. You know what I mean? He's more of an introvert.
Kind
of
like, he's, I don't know, man.
So,
that's it.
Right.
I just don't think he's a head coach. I think if he's going to play just offensive coordinator, I think he'll excel. I really do. I just think that head coaching might not be the job for him. Should go back to being an OC.
So there, if one of these teams, I'm hitting the panic button on them just because I thought they'd be better, a little better than this. You know, Saints, again, I didn't think they're going to be very good, though, too. They look, you know, they're staying in games, but, again, I don't expect a whole much, so I'm not really panicking there either.
No. I mean, any of the other 0-2 teams that are out there, like, there's different situations that are transpiring that it's not panic mode yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Cleveland Browns, like, they still have a good defense. Their offense is kind of, it's okay. It's not like, you know, where it needs to be. But they're struggling, too. Like, they're another team that's 0-2. But I don't think they're at the panic mode just yet. But, yeah, like, I mean, Saints, we kind of expected that, right? Like,
Whether it
be Tyler Shook or Spencer Rattler, we kind of saw that team as like, okay, yeah, they're going to be kind of competitive sometimes, but overall they're going to end up losing the games.
Right, right. And I'd say you're not going to make the Chiefs panic and stuff, but to go 0-2 in this division to where all those teams have gotten better, if it's not for, you know, some of these tight games, Denver and things, and then, you know, the Chargers facing against the Raiders in a tight game, too. One of them had to come away with a loss. Like, it would have been a bigger, like, rougher part. You know, they're still at the bottom of the division, but they could still kind of get back into it. Texans, I think, not exactly panic, but, again, a lot of mistakes by that team. I thought offensively they've gotten better. I thought Nick Chubb would play better. But their defense is keeping them in games. But
defense is awesome.
They were tough in some of those games and not get wins. And with the Colts going 2-0 right now and looking really good, Jacksonville is really competitive even too. They've surprised me too. And Tennessee, I mean, they're coming around. You know, they got some good plays here. Again, I still think they're growing. I still think they're going to be in the bottom of the division. But
yeah,
I thought this was the Texans' division to lose, and they're sitting here at 0-2 right now already. And haven't you know, faced, you know, the divisional opponents. So wait till they go against the Colts again. I can't wait for this matchup then.
I mean, here's my thing with the Texans is they just need to be healthy. That's the bottom line. Their offensive line is terrible right now because they got a bunch of guys injured all the time. You know, and C.J. Stroud, how can he just sit back there and try to throw the football when he's got guys in his face right after the snap? So, I mean, that to me is, again, like another 0-2 team that it's a different situation. It's because of the lack of players up front that are healthy. So I think as soon as those guys end up coming back, or maybe they make a move, whether it be a free agent out there that they bring in to help them, something like that to kind of help shore up the front, I think the Texans will get right back into the driver's seat. So I'm not really worried about them as well. Like, I think there's like, the one panic mode team for me is the Dolphins. Like, everyone else has their different situations. And some we've already expected to be kind of like a dumpster fire a little bit. So that would be kind of like the one team that I'm most worried about in a season where we kind of expected them to have a good offense, but not so much a defense. But we're not seeing either.
Absolutely. And it's only panic again because, too, we know the whole stat with, you know, when you start 0-2, the percentage of making the playoffs after that is very grim. And with the competition in some of these, you know, divisions, the way they're tight, it's just going to be tougher for some of these guys. So,
Jimmy, what do you got for your best 2-0 team?
My best 2-0 team right here, Joe. All right. Looking at the undefeated teams, I think it's pretty clear to me, at least in my opinion, that the Green Bay Packers currently right now are the best team in the league, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They're all over the ball here on defense. Like we've talked about, they've been a top five defense. They're doing great now with the addition of Micah Parsons here. They're running on all phases. Jordan Love, again, playing really safe. He's got 240 yards passing per game right now, not turning the ball over, looking like the Jordan Love from 2 years ago, Joe. So I think overall with Josh Jacobs too as well running the ball, they're just the most complete team. And if you look at the opponents that they faced, the Lions, you know, last week, just – dominating, you know what I'm saying? And these are good teams they're facing. So you look at these other teams that were good teams, you know, like the Philadelphia Eagles, even the Bills, they were in some tight matchups. So I think this next matchup here, if they are able to beat the Ravens, that will just, I think, automatically put them right here at the number one seed here, and you know, the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of a chink in the armor for the Chiefs, for the Eagles, you know what I mean, where the defense isn't up to snuff for both teams that you know, as much as we were used to seeing. And because of that, we've seen both those teams struggle at times, Eagles with the Cowboys, you know, Chiefs, you know, recently. Like, there's something going on there, and it could be because they don't have everybody with the Chiefs, like especially offensively, like they don't have Rashi Rice, so it's kind of like throwing off their offense a little bit. But again, they're smart enough and they're good enough to kind of turn this thing around. But being 0-2, it's going to be difficult. But Jim, I got to tell you my best 2-0 team. Let me tell you a little bit about the Green Bay Packers. That's right, I said the Green Bay Packers. You know, let's talk about this team because this is a team that. They're a very young team. The window to win a Super Bowl is pretty big. I mean, when you look at the roster in the grand scheme of things, the offensive line is younger. The obviously Jordan Love is still in his prime, is young. You know, the receivers, they're all young. Like even Christian Watson, who still isn't healthy yet, he's going to be coming back, just signed a 1 year extension. So he's sticking around in Green Bay. So he's going to come back when he's healthy. You got Josh Jacobs in the backfield still in his prime, mm-hmm. still kicking it, you know, and that's alleviating some of the pressure on Jordan Love because, hey, I get to hand the ball off to Josh and Jacobs, let him run around, you know, let him be a battering ram against the defense. I don't have to do it all anymore. So, and then on the defense, again, already was a good defense before the season even started. And then you put the cherry on top with Micah Parsons being traded there. Are you kidding me? This is just doesn't make sense. Like, why would anybody allow this? Jerry, you're a fool. Green Bay, you're the winner in this. And I tell you right now, the Packers, the sky's the limit. Let's talk about how they're points for. The amount of points they scored already in 2 weeks is 54 points. That's mm-hmm. third behind the Bills and the Colts. Believe it or not, the Colts, they're scoring points. Points against what they're allowing to happen, 31 points. Are you kidding me? That's only second behind the Chargers, and that's by 1 point. Chargers have 30 points against. The freaking Packers have 31. So this is a very special team, and I got to say, like, if they stay healthy, guys, all I'm saying, Super Bowl is the goal here. Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like you said, when you see it right on paper, on the eye test too, watching the games, they're just the most complete team right now. So, absolutely. 54, you know, points again in 2 weeks. It's craziness. 41% on third downs, getting it done in all phases. Not to say that these other teams aren't good, though. You know what I mean? Again, Eagles pulling off some tough victories here, but they don't look like the Eagles from last year. Bills. We've had our gripes about them, too, as well. They were able to pull off a victory in week one. This past week, they played the Jets, who were just not prepared at all and couldn't handle them at all. I think they're still scoring, you know, the Bills. Right. It's just embarrassing. You know, there's like, dude, where are you going? Everybody just kept pounding it on
Bills
them.
Are number one. I think the Bills have 71 points, everyone.
Well, yeah, right? That's what I mean. It just pounded on there. Again, and some of the other ones, the Bengals, again, I think now their season's done. You know, Colts, they're right now they're the surprise team. What are we going to see? I mean, I think that could be an easy team to kind of jump onto, though, because I think, again, you had your Daniel Jones supporters that were with the Giants. He's on a different team. People still like him. We talked about Greg, and I think he still likes Daniel Jones. You know what I mean? He said he's still pretty a decent quarterback. He thought it was the organization. Here you go. You get with Shane Steichen and the Colts now. You've got a good D-line. You've got, you know, an offensive line protecting you, giving you time. You've got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, too, to alleviate some of that in the running game. And, you know, he's thrown it to some good receivers. He said, you don't have a Malik Nabers there, but you don't really need to the way that offense is and what you've got there. So, so it'd be interesting to see what the Colts do and how far they take this in that division.
He does have Michael Pittman, who I know a lot of people kind of overlook, but, man, the guy can play. You know, and honestly, like, for the Colts, they are the surprise team this year. There's always one. There's always one team where you're like, I don't know how they're going to do, and then what the hell is going on? This is not the team we thought was going to be here. The Colts are shredding. I mean shredding. Yes, Daniel Jones is shredding defenses. And the Colts, with him at the helm, like, I got to say, like, I'm very impressed by Daniel Jones. And this also shows you that the Giants organization and the coaching staff are the problem. Because Daniel Jones is going to us. Then big questions arise in New York and looking at Brian Daboll. Like, dude, this guy is killing it in Indy. What didn't you do that you could have done better to keep him here and would have been that you know, featured quarterback for you? You should be shredding defenses. So I got to say, maybe it's the offensive scheme, too, with the Colts. Mm-hmm. It's different, and maybe it fits Daniel Jones better, so much so that we're seeing it. He's surprising us. So. I mean, those teams right there, Packers, Bills, Colts, they are the hottest offenses right now. And the Chargers, they're another tough team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Chargers, again, are up there as well. Again, they're another team that offensively can get it going in the air game, but then also on the run attack. But defense really good. You do have Khalil Mack go down. They are another team that kind of, I don't know if it's a Harbaugh thing or whatever, but again, pounds on the pressure and the points, but then kind of seems like in the end of the games, kind of lets a team hang around and kind of make a little bit of a comeback, but still able to close out, you know, games here, at least for them in the Chargers here. So we'll look to see them challenge this division.
Jim, I just got to say, the LA Chargers are like the bouncers of the nightclub. That's what they are. They're all big, mean, tough guys that, whether you're playing O-line, D-line, linebacker, they're all big. They're all just big dudes that just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then when the dust settles, they're winning. Like, they got the win. Like, it's incredible. They are just
mush Geno Smith's face. Like, he's getting pushed kind of into Geno, and he's just like, brah, you know, all this stuff. Great matchups here week two. Totally opposite for some teams from week one. Russell Wilson, holy crap. Looks like the Wilson of old. Dude. Blue balls for everybody. That game was just wild, man. That one was just back and forth. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. My nerves are going crazy. I didn't expect them to win. Again, you know, I picked against them. But, you know, I would have been happy if they pull out a win. But that's the Giants, life of a Giants fan, though. As soon as you give up, you get all this hope. You score with 18 seconds, I think. In the matchup here, you're thinking you might have put him to bed here, just like you know, Malik Nabers did, but Brandon Aubrey, just with that long leg and be able to kick it that far, they're never really out of it, right? And you know, that defense going soft, it seemed like whenever, you know, again, they needed to march down and get yards, they just give everything underneath and let them come right down. So
that
it was disappointing,
man,
there.
Brandon Aubrey is lethal. He is the best kicker hands down in the league. I mean, the dude, not only does he have a super strong leg, but he's deadly accurate, too. Like, I know we kind of look at Justin Tucker as that model that all teams would love, but Aubrey's just a little bit different. Like, he's kind of like just smooth as silk. Like, nothing bothers the dude, nothing. He goes up there and he acts like he's by himself on the football field. Nobody's watching. Nobody's rushing the kick. Like, he just acts so nonchalant and kicks it with ease, and it just takes right off. Like, it's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys really got themselves one.
Yeah, I think some of it is just the fact that, you know, he's not a football player. You know, he's a soccer player. So then he was done with soccer. Yeah, I know, but done. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, I could probably hit it from here. I'm going to give it a shot, whatever. So I feel like he takes that approach to the game to where, you know, I'm just here kicking. I'm just doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? And there is no real pressure that really affects him, you know, just playing a game, you know, and extended, you know, my career, you know, and being able to do this and enjoying doing it. So, yeah, I mean, sucks for a Giants fan to have, you know, the Cowboys have him, right? Because at this point with the Cowboys where they are, you know, not really great on defense, to have a kicker that can end games like that for you.
Yeah, Giants should trade for Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, right.
just try to get him from Jerry's wheeling a deal, and you might as well hop on the train now. Try to get him to give him up. Listen, right. Jim, I know we got to go. It's that time again. But listen, everybody out there, if you stuck with us even to this point, like, God bless you. Thank you guys so much for the support. It's been awesome. We are over 17,000 subscribers at Crumbling Media. Really, really appreciate everybody. Appreciate all the comments today from everyone. That's been fun. But tell a friend to tell a friend, everybody. Spread the word. Let everybody know that you checked us out. Listen, this is the one show that you want to check out because we're interactive, because we're going to give you guys an opportunity to join in the conversation. And you can help us further support us over on YouTube at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Just a couple clicks. Make sure you hit the thumbs up as well. It does help us get more noticed by other people. And also, tell a friend to tell a friend. You know the deal. We'll see you guys in the next one.